All right, Acts chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading in verse, 26, I think. We'll start there, and we'll read through verse 39. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for another opportunity this morning to open it up and read it and learn from its pages. And so, Father, speak to us today. Help us to understand this lesson and help us to make practical application of these of some truths here to our lives and our service for you. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If a person is a true believer in Jesus Christ, and they are active in their local church, then when they die, their death affects their church greatly. And the reason for that is because they have built their life around the Lord Jesus and his church. And when they die, their presence is greatly felt in the church. An example of that would be that great deacon that we read about in Acts chapter 6 and 7 named Stephen. It was a sad day in the early New Testament church when Stephen died. The church lamented his death and probably wondered who could take his place in the church. They also probably wondered if God made a mistake in taking him so early to his eternal resting place. But we must always remember that God never makes mistakes. Never, ever. In Psalm 18, verse 30, it says, As for God, his way is perfect. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. And we also need to remember that when it comes to people, none of us are indispensable. We can die today, and someone will take our place tomorrow. And that's what happens in Acts chapter 6, 7, and 8. In Acts chapter 6 and 7, we read about that great Christian named Stephen, and we read about his death. But when we get to Acts chapter 8, God has sent another great servant into the church, a man named Philip. Now, I want us to go back a little bit in Acts chapter 8 to an earlier portion and go back. Let's read verses 5 through 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now, what kind of a preacher was Philip? Well, Philip was a preacher that preached Christ wherever he went. That's what we read in verse 5, right? Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And when he preached Christ to them, a genuine revival broke out in Samaria. The people of Samaria gave heed to the preaching of God's word. And as a result, souls were saved. Miracles took place and people were healed. Unclean spirits crying with loud voices were cast out of many. A tremendous revival took place in Samaria. But then something happened that doesn't make sense to us mortals. In the midst of this great revival, God did a strange thing. He uprooted Philip the preacher and sent him to a desert. Why? Why would God do such a thing in the midst of a great revival? It doesn't make sense, at least not to us. But from Acts chapter 8, we can learn some things that will help us so that it makes sense to us. Let me show you several things this morning. First of all, I want you to consider the speech. And I'm talking about the speech that the angel makes to Philip. Look at verse 26 again. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He did not send Philip to a large city that was crowded with lost souls. He sent him to Gaza, which is desert. Now, for God to have Philip leave the revival in Samaria to go away into a desert seems like a big mistake. But yet we know, as I said earlier, God has never made a mistake. In fact, he can't make a mistake. And there are a couple of reasons why he can't make a mistake. First, his perfection and greatness will not allow him to make a mistake. And secondly, God has unlimited knowledge. That is, he knows the beginning from the end and every detail in between. God has unlimited knowledge, therefore, he cannot make a mistake. He's omniscient. But people can make mistakes. And it's possible that at first Philip even thought that it was a mistake when the angel of the Lord asked him to leave that revival. He was being used of God in Samaria to preach the word of God. And as a result, great revival broke out. As I said, people were being saved by the scores. Some were delivered from demon possession. God even healed some of their infirmities. It was so great that the Bible says the town was filled with the joy of the Lord. So it would seem that in the midst of a move of God like that, it would be a mistake to just pull up stakes and leave. But this is exactly what God asked Philip to do, to leave and go unto Gaza, which is desert. And you'll notice that there is no record of Philip protesting. It says, and he arose and went. I used to work for a company where the boss had a sign in his office that said this. It says, you do not have to always agree with the boss, but you do have to remember he is the boss. And the same thing goes for those of us who serve God. We may not always agree with God, but we do have to always remember he is God, and he has never made a mistake. So the first thing we see here is the speech. It says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now the second thing that I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture is the sinner. The sinner. Look at verses 27 and 28. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Notice, when he arose and came to Gaza, he met a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Now, perhaps you're asking, what is a eunuch? Well, the term eunuch has three meanings to it. One of them is surgical, and I'm not going into any details about that this morning. Secondly, it means someone who is just physically unable to procreate. And then third, it is someone who has made a personal decision to live a life of celibacy. Now, we don't know specifically how this man fit into those definitions, but the Bible tells us he was a eunuch. But he was no ordinary eunuch. Again, there in those verses, it says he was a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He had charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and as he was returning, he was sitting in his chariot reading from the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Okay. Now, here's the question. Why leave the revival, the great revival in Samaria, and go to an Ethiopian? I want you to consider where Ethiopia is. It's Africa. God was about to use Philip to open the door of Africa to the gospel. If this Ethiopian got saved, he would be the very first person to take the good news of Christ to that continent. And so what seems like a mistake was no mistake at all. It was God opening the door to the continent of Africa. And so when Philip met this man, he was coming from worship in Jerusalem, sitting in his chariot, reading the scriptures, and he wanted to know the truth. Who is this passage of scripture from Isaiah chapter 53 speaking about? And so here we have a waiting sinner whose heart has been opened by God through contact with the scriptures. And so we see the speech, we see the sinner, and next I want you to notice the spirit, the spirit. The eunuch was in his chariot when Philip arrived, and we read in verse 29, then the spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now, this is a wonderful truth of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can speak to us. And because He knows us so well, when He speaks to us, He speaks to us in ways that we can understand. And when we are led by the Spirit of God, we cannot go wrong. The Spirit told Philip to go to Gaza, and he went. And the Spirit told him to go to this Ethiopian, and he went. Now, as I said, it sure seems like God might have made a mistake to tell Philip to leave the revival in Samaria and come to the desert to talk to this eunuch. But again, we must never forget God does not make mistakes. I'm reminded of the story of the man who bought a brand new pair of shoes for the great evangelist D.L. Moody. He came to Mr. Moody and he said, "God told me to buy you this pair of shoes. By the way, what size do you wear?" To which Mr. Moody replied, "If God told you to buy those shoes for me, they will fit, because God knows exactly what size I wear." Well, the Spirit of God told Philip to go to the church. Go to the eunuch, rather. And when Philip did what the Spirit of the Lord told him to do, he could not go wrong. And so we see the speech, the sinner, the Spirit. And then fourth, I want you to notice the speed. Let's read verses 30 through 34 again. "And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, 'Understandest thou what thou readest?' And he said, 'How can I, except some man should guide me?' And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' And the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I pray thee, of whom speakest thou the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?'" Now, did you notice that when the Spirit said to Philip to go to this man, the Bible says, "And Philip ran thither to him." Philip wasted no time trying to please the Lord. When God told him to go to the eunuch, the Bible says he ran thither to him. And what an example for us. You know, it's sad that God has spoken to some Christians about doing something for Him, and He's been speaking to them about doing it for years, and still they've not gotten around to doing it. And they need to get busy. They need to get busy before it's too late. Otherwise, they will stand before the Lord, having not fulfilled His plan for their life, and they will be ashamed when they meet Him. Philip was not going to allow that to happen in his life. God showed Philip this eunuch and said, "Go to him." Now, why would He choose Philip? Because He knew that Philip would preach Christ to him. Philip was that kind of a Christian. And so God showed Philip this eunuch and said, "Go to him." And the Bible tells us this great man of God ran to where he was. You know, many in the church today sit around saying, "Oh, I wish I had more time. I would love to do some things for the Lord if I had more time. Or I wish I had more money. I would love to give more to the Lord if I had it to give." But can I tell you this? God doesn't expect you to do something with what you don't have. God expects you to take what you do have and use it for him and for his glory. And to be honest with you, the truth is every one of us is doing as much as we want to do. And we're giving as much as we want to give. And I'm convinced that if God gave the people who say these things 10 days a week instead of 7, and gave them $100 more a week in their income, they still would not have time or money for the Lord. See, the lack of time and money is not their problem. The problem is that a lot of people who profess to be Christians choose to do nothing for the Lord, even though they are surrounded by things they could do for him. But when God spoke to Philip, the Bible says Philip ran thither to him. Philip was not looking for an excuse. He was looking for an opportunity. Looking for an opportunity. So we see the speech, the sinner, the spirit, the speed, and then next we see the salvation. Verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So here he goes again. Right? We've already read in verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now we find Philip in the desert with one Ethiopian, and he is still preaching Christ. In Samaria, people were saved when Philip preached Christ unto them, and the Ethiopian got saved when Philip preached Christ unto him. And what a wonderful, tremendous example for us. And what a shame it is that there are Christians who have been saved for years that have never won one single soul to the Lord in their entire lifetime. But if those same Christians would just tell people about the Lord and ask them if they would like to be saved, you would be surprised how many of them could lead people to the Lord. Someone has described soul winning this way. They said it's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And you know, that really is what it comes down to. We are to direct hungry people to the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. But sad to say, we have Christians pointing people in our day to all kinds of things except the Lord Jesus. They will talk to people about anything and everything. They'll talk about sports. They'll talk about politics. They'll talk about movies. But they will never put in a word for the Savior, never mention the name of Jesus. Thank God for the Ethiopian that Philip wasn't like that. Philip took him to the scriptures, which, by the way, is all that we have to offer the world. The message of the Word of God. People's lives are not going to be changed by our opinions. People's lives are not going to be changed by us trying to grab their attention with gimmicks and games and prizes. People's lives are not going to be changed by turning the church into just a Christian entertainment center. Lives are not going to be changed by adding programs to the church's calendar. Lives are changed when they receive the message of the Word of God. And so Philip took him to the scriptures and told him about Jesus. And this Ethiopian was saved. We have his testimony in verse 37. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so we see the speech, the sinner, the spirit, the speed, the salvation, And then finally this morning, the symbol. Verses 36 through the first part of 39 says, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. Members of the early church preached Christ wherever they went, and once they led a person to Christ, they taught them that they should be baptized. And evidently, in the conversation, as Philip led this Ethiopian to the Lord, he told him that one of the first things a new convert should do is be baptized. Because as soon as Philip had preached Jesus unto him, they came to a water hole, and he asked why he could not be baptized. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And the Ethiopian assured Philip that he believed with all his heart that Jesus was the Son of God. And it says, they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And I want you to notice the eagerness of this new convert to obey the Lord. We've all seen people who profess to have accepted the Lord Jesus many years ago, but who have never gotten around to obeying the first commandment that the Lord requires of a new convert. And shame on those professing Christians, and shame on the churches that do not stress the importance of water baptism, which is a symbol, simply a symbol, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and it is a testimony to the fact that the person being baptized has put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ alone for the salvation of their soul. And then as we close this morning, I just want you to notice a couple of last few words here in verse 39, where it says at the end, "And he went on his way rejoicing." All over the world, people are trying to find peace and joy, but they're looking in the wrong place. They are looking to the things of the world for peace and joy, but that's not where they're found. Peace and joy is not found in things. They are found in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jesus that Philip so faithfully proclaimed wherever he went. Only when a person finds the Lord Jesus, only then can he go on his way rejoicing. So let me just close with two things this morning. First of all, most important is, if you don't know Jesus, you need to receive him today. As best you know how, you need to open up your heart and through prayer invite him to come in, to wash your sins away, to give you everlasting life, and to be your Savior and Lord. That's your greatest need, your greatest need. But then secondly, if you do know him, you need to be like Philip and tell others about him. You know, that's why God left us here on this earth after we got saved, to be a witness for him. So let's get busy. Let's get busy and tell others about him. Because if we don't, who will? Who will? Let's be like Philip. Why? Because people need the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And thank you for the wonderful example of Philip, this preacher, this Christian who was so faithful to tell others about your son. Help us to be just like that. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in proclaiming to the world the good news of Jesus.